Hey, welcome to The Interactive Journey. Come along with us as we share the stories of parents, children, and professionals navigating a challenging world of various diagnoses, life transitions, and being human.
You are listening to another episode of The Interactive Journey, where we have conversations with people involved in the special needs community. I'm one of your hosts, Rachel Watson, along with Megan Schakowsky.
Hello.
And Logan McIntosh.
Hi.
And today we are talking to Andrea Farris Roberts.
Hello.
Rachel's like pointing at us with this extendo tripod.
I can't.
What's great about it is that no one can see who you're pointing to because they don't see your orientation.
Right. I had to say it.
Andrea is the founder of A Mother's Rest, who coordinates respite retreats for caregivers who have loved ones with disabilities and or chronic conditions. Thank you so very much, Andrea, for chatting with us today.
You are welcome.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Where do you want me to start? Because it's kind of a long, sordid story.
We have all afternoon.
Give us a good bit. That much time. I don't know. I grew up in Maryland. I live in Maryland now. I went to college at the University of Alabama. So I'm a big college football fan still to this day. My first son was born with Down syndrome. So he's 20 now, which, like, where did my life go? And I have another son who is about to turn 18. He's got ADHD. It kind of runs in my family. But I can tell you that even though I thought that Reese would be the death of me, no, it's my typical teenager at 17. Like, and he wants me to drop out of state tuition for him to go to college, and he can't get his butt out of bed in the morning. Like, hello.
Is this his senior year?
So I had to wipe away tears before I got on this podcast with you, because I've just had enough today. I've just had enough of the... Anyway, so in 2006, I started a foundation that helped families adopt children with disabilities internationally. And it was called Reese's Rainbow, named after my son, Reese. Reese was not adopted. He is my biological son. But when I found out what happens to children like him in other countries, I just decided that was not okay. And I put my marketing and sales and client service expertise into play, and it grew. So that's been in place since 2006, and we've saved over 2,000 children with various disabilities from all over the world. I retired from Reese's Rainbow in 2017 to begin A Mother's Rest because I was burned out. I had a 15-year-old, Reese. God save me. And all of my adoptive families at Reese's Rainbow, you know, they were struggling. And there's a lot of support groups out there, you know, online support groups. But I needed a way. Like, I needed uninterrupted sleep. Like, no cats on me. No getting up at 6 o'clock with Reese while he's down here microwaving SpaghettiOs in a metal bowl. I really kind of wanted A Mother's Rest to be an extension of Reese's Rainbow. It wasn't really my intent to retire from Reese's Rainbow, but my board kind of felt they needed to keep it focused on the adoption, and so we went our separate ways. The nice thing is that now I'm still serving all of my Reese's Rainbow families because we have a special adoptive focus as well. Because that comes with a lot of trauma and its own issues, even if they don't have disabilities. So
you've retired from Reese's Rainbow, but Reese's Rainbow still exists.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. And, you know, I mean, I don't know for sure from the inside, but just understanding the current international climate, mm-hmm. the way things are going right now. You know, all of our adoptions there in Ukraine and Russia and China are pretty much done. So for the time being, it's a horrible situation. And, you know, I hope that they're able to just continue and maintain the support for those families as they go through their processes one time when the time comes. So
yeah. Wonderful. How did you, when you, just to start just for a couple minutes, just about Reese's Rainbow, how did you identify, you know, where you were going to be looking for individuals, babies, children, whoever it is, like young adults, even or your teens? How did you identify where you were going to be looking for the need, or did it come to you?
Do you mean why did I choose international versus domestic support?
Yes.
Okay. Well, if you want a really raw answer, which I always give you, is because the prenatal abortion rate of babies with Down syndrome in this country is rivaling about 90%. Mm-hmm. There's a waiting list of families hoping to adopt babies with Down syndrome in this country specifically. Mm-hmm. And that's how Reese's Rainbow started out, with just serving kids with Down syndrome, because my son has Down syndrome.
Right.
So that's the real and raw of that. And but when I found out that how many of them were waiting in orphanages abroad, and how they were literally left at the hospitals, and they got sent to baby houses, and then by the age of 4, they're sent to adult mental institutions, which are, you know, hard for people to process, but they're, you know, Holocaust living conditions in a lot of places, especially in more rural locations in Ukraine, Russia, Bulgaria, whatever. You know, any of my adopted families at Reese's Rainbow can attest to the living conditions that these kids are still living in the 21st century, which is absolutely appalling. That's how I made that decision to focus there. We started in Ukraine. I was introduced to, a gentleman who was a facilitator, and in Ukraine, and in most countries, these children with disabilities, most of them were not even registered for international adoption.
Really?
Because they had, you know, their cultural differences didn't, you know, led them to believe that nobody would want them. So why bother going through the process of registering them to be eligible for adoption? And it was a common, very common, prevalent misconception that, if people did adopt these children, they would sell them for body parts.
Wow.
I'm sure that you've all heard, you know, I mean, child trafficking is a crisis around the world.
Mm-hmm, it is.
But Ukraine is not, you know, I would say it's a hotspot for that, especially for non-disabled kids. Mm-hmm. A lot of the kids, when they graduate from their boarding schools, the typical kids at 16, I mean, they're mostly on the street. They've got no skills. They've got no money. They've got no place to go. And they're just prime targets for trafficking along many levels. Okay. So folks in places like Ukraine could not understand, number one, why anybody would want a disabled child.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took us many years, but, you know, after we were able to get through the first few, you know, and able to send reports back to these orphanages and to the directors to show them, no, they're actually thriving in these loving families. Like, people in America actually want these children. We have resources to support these children. Not enough resources, but more than they've got.
Yeah.
You know, it changed everything. And then, you know, by the time we were in year maybe 5 or 6, we had our posters translated into Ukrainian, hanging at their national adoption center, you know, in Kyiv. Uh-huh. So, you know, we did amazing things there, and in Russia, Bulgaria, China, all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Really changed the face of that. But, you know, it's especially hard now to see all of the mm-hmm. crises that they're all facing, and knowing how many will be left behind because of it.
Yeah. Oh, that's heartbreaking. Must have been particularly challenging for you as a mother of someone with Down syndrome, and to see him there, and to see how he has developed all along the way, and just knowing that luckily he is was your child and not somewhere like that. I mean, that, to me, I could see that being such a motivator for being, you know, the founder of such an organization. So
absolutely. And so what you mentioned before, you know, that what you guys do here in your podcast is a labor of love. Mm-hmm. Nothing that's worth doing isn't.
Mm-hmm. That's,
you know,
right.
So your own pain and your own challenges, as difficult as they are, tend to be motivators, very deep-seated motivators, and very genuine altruistic motivators in your efforts to support others and to carry others through their challenges. So the same, you know, this is the same for me with a Mother's Rest. You know, I mean, yes, if I'm Reese was fortunate to be born here into a loving family, and he's never wanted for anything, but he's difficult. Mm-hmm. And not as difficult as some, but difficult. And each one of us as parents have our own coping skills or lack thereof. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you ask how deep is the mud, well, it depends on who you're asking.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of folks look at me and see me as this, you know, amazing disability community leader who's done so much good in the world. And, you know, I'm crying myself to sleep most nights because just of my own family situation. So, you know, we're motivated by our own pain and struggles, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So if someone was interested in a mother's helper, like what does that mean? What does that mean for them? What are some of the needs that people come to you with?
As far as participating in, with a mother's rest?
Yes. Okay. Rest.
So I built a mother's rest. I created a mother's rest for what I was needing at the time. And that was just absolute escape. Like I was on the verge of like literally leaving my family and disappearing into the woods and you were never going to see me again. And I'm not ashamed to say that because it's very real. And I know that I'm not the only one that has ever felt that way in a very dark, scary place to be mentally, okay, because I don't think that most of us really want to abandon our children or our families, right? It's not really what we want. But it can take you to a dark, scary place. And I knew that I was not the only one who needed that escape. And what I didn't want was an educational conference. Mm-hmm. I wasn't looking for, you know, 2 weeks at the beach, which, you know, of course would have been nice, but I couldn't afford that. Can't afford that. Mm-hmm. Which is why most moms don't take time for themselves, because it's either, you know, for most of our families, you know, are living on one income because somebody's had to make the sacrifice to be home. You know, the cost of getting away is what's really the number one thing that stops them. It's not lack of childcare, although that is a very close second. But the cost, you know, for a lot of families, it's a difference between going on this trip and sleeping and actually taking care of yourself or paying your electric bill.
Right.
One of the groceries. I mean, it's literally that, you know, pennies to pennies for a lot of our families. And so what I created was someplace beautiful and comfortable and affordable to go do nothing but sleep, which is why our hashtag is Sleep Matters. Mm-hmm. The science of poor sleep is well documented.
Mm-hmm.
And how valuable sleep is and fellowship, pardon me, with other people who actually get what you're going through is so crucial. Mm-hmm. So we try not, you know, I don't bring in any therapists. I don't, you know, plan any activities. The ladies, when they're on retreat with us, are their own therapists. And they, you know, 9 times out of 10 come out of that just blown away. You know, why didn't I do this sooner? When is the next one? And that's the victory. So I think a lot of moms in our community carry some guilt and shame about feeling the way that they do, feeling the need to get away, feeling the need for a break, instead of recognizing that, you know what, I'm doing a lot here and it's in my best interest and the best interest of my whole family that I be healthy,
mm-hmm.
that I feel good and that I be taking these breaks as I need to, as mm-hmm. I'm able to keep myself going for my children. So
what have you seen can push maybe a parent to say, you know what? Yes, I need this rest. Yes, I need to do something for myself.
Yeah. I think that our Facebook support group is really valuable. We're pushing now 10,000 members in that group, which is absolutely mind-blowing. Yeah. You know, not everybody's active in there, and not everybody's in as dark a place. Not everybody is in as deep a need or is as comfortable openly talking about how they're feeling, but they're benefiting from reading the conversations of others and just knowing that they're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course we have a testimonials page, you know, that you can read through how these moms, you know, their first experience and what they thought it was going to be like and how it ended up. And, you know, so those are very powerful. That's powerful information for newbies too. But you know, the goal is to keep these things affordable.
Mm-hmm.
And so by doing that, it's almost like, you know, I'm trying to get into people's head and be like, it's $55 or it's $165 for three full nights with breakfast, you know, like it's
that
not
helps take the guilt away.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and realizing that, you know, even if you end up having to cancel, it's not a huge financial loss. It's not like, you know, booking $1,000 cruise, you know, and you lose all your money on them. It's not, you know, so I try to take away the financial burden, and we are even able to often offer grants if people need them. If they still can't even manage that 55 or 165 or whatever, all they have to do is just ask, and we can usually just zero out the ticket if they need it to eliminate that hurdle.
I worked with a boy who was six, and he was in a treatment center for severe challenging behaviors. And this is back at like 2000. And I just think of that mother who was there every single weekend, all weekend, had so much guilt inside of her. And she said, she's like, when he was four, he engages in like, he's very aggressive towards others. He tried biting, hitting, and he bites himself, banging his head on the wall. I mean, it's really significant from such a young age. And it was almost constant. And she had him in the bathtub and he started doing it so slippery. And she admitted, after a long time, she said, I almost thought about just walking away, and just leaving him in the bathtub, she said, because his life is so miserable and I'm so exhausted. And she did have a partner. She had a spouse and he was a wonderful father, but just so exhausted. And that's where they went to residential care, because she couldn't do it. It was killing her, the level of care. And I think if something like this had been available, that would have been such a huge game changer for her. I do. I really believe that. But I always appreciated, she felt so guilty saying the words, but it really helped to be able to articulate that and then say, it's not your fault. It's right. Not your fault. And I feel for your son, but I also feel for you too. And just really, I don't have a child who, this person's child was autistic. I don't have a child with autism, but I can hear what you're saying, and as a human, I can only imagine what it's like to do what you do on a daily basis, and knowing that you, how much you love your son. It must be just, I don't know, I could only imagine like the stories of the people that you're with and how much you're able to help them by just giving them the break. I love that you don't have like, here's a workshop and here we're gonna have this person come in, and as nice as that is, and some people are looking for that. But usually when you get to the point where you're that exhausted, you just want sleep.
Yeah, I mean, you know, these retreats are health retreats. They're not educational conventions. They're not, you know, they are truly health retreats. And, you know, I don't know if you've, you know, looked on our website very much, but at the bottom of each page, it specifically says you don't have to come out of your room if you don't want to. Like, there are no social obligations whatsoever. Now, a lot of, you know, obviously people will come down to eat or whatever, and they'll mix and mingle a little bit and talk to folks. And it just depends on where they are in their mind. You know, if they really get into a deep conversation with somebody, it's very therapeutic. There's a lot of tissue boxes around all of these ends, okay? Because there's a lot of cathartic tears that come. But some people just need to be alone. Like, they are just pawed at all day long with the needs of not just their disabled child, but their other kids, their spouse, their job, their pets, their parents, their, you know, leave me alone. Like, I don't want to talk to nobody. And so that's the cool thing about these retreats, is that people can come as often as they're able to. They're not limited to any particular number per year or whatever. And so maybe in the first visit, they stay in their room and stay to themselves most of the time. But then, you know, they see people out and about and laughing and talking and enjoying each other. And then the next time they feel more comfortable participating in that and really getting a positive feeling from being with everybody. And then it becomes home. These ladies become family together. So it's really very powerful.
Do you find that they keep in touch after?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes, yeah.
Most of the time, yeah. They they tend to friend each other, and then they talk, and they get, you know, especially if they're from the same area or whatever. I mean, I know a lot of the ladies actually will get together on their own, you know, outside of these organized weekends. It's just really amazing the way that it has grown. And I have people ask me all the time, you know, did you have any idea that you were going to grow so quickly, as if it was going to be so well received. Well, yeah, that's the way I planned it. Like,
right.
I knew that it was going to take off because the need was so great and there was nothing else out there like this. This is the first of its kind in the nation. So not only do we have a nationwide partnership with multiple existing bed and breakfast partners who host several times a year, but we also own two of our own year-round respite sanctuaries. So one is in Maryland and the other is in North Georgia. So we were able to serve Southeast region families in that location. So, you know, our hope is to grow and have more and more around the country that are year-round. But until then, you know, we just continue partnering. And of course, the last 3 years have been particularly difficult because of COVID and the economy, and, you know, makes it even harder for these B&Bs to offer the discounted rates that we need. We've been blessed. You know, we've lost a number of them, have gone out of business, but then new ones have been like, hey, we can be beneficial to each other, you know, financially, even if it's not at full rate, I'm still filling my house. And, you know, that's kind of the way that it is for our partners there in New Jersey. So we're just incredibly blessed to have them.
Where do you focus in New Jersey? Are they a little bit all over the place? Are they more beach close?
The one that we have is in Ocean City, New Jersey. Okay.
Oh, so 5 minutes from my house. I live I live on the mainland.
Yeah. So it's right
Scarborough.
On Ocean Ave. And it's called the Scarborough. And it's the oldest B&B in Ocean City. And one of their goals there, they're relatively new owners in 2020. They've completely renovated the place. It's amazing, amazing, amazing. You've got 29 rooms. And that's one of the larger venues that we partner with, because we typically do a smaller group, you know, like 7 to 10 max, so that they people have, but it's kind of nice when you have more as well. And they are really very focused on wanting to make the Scarborough in a year-round destination. So they're able to offer our moms, you know, many, many weekends. We had 10 weekends with them scheduled. Wow. Just in this year. And you know, they've already scheduled 5 more for the first, you know, 2-3 months of 2023. So they're a blessing. And because you have so many families in the New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland area who can benefit from that, and it's a relatively easy drive for most people, you know, they fill very quickly.
That's wonderful. And it's really nice because Ocean City is trying to also be a year-round, I wouldn't go as far as a year-round resort. I think it's more a resort in the summer. But there's something to do most weekends all year round. January, February might be a little bit slower, but there are still things going on.
Yeah, I mean, the restaurants are mostly all open still. And, you know, they are. So the town council there, and along with the Scarborough and other, you know, businesses, are trying to make it a year-round destination place. It's not a summer family resort, you know, in the winter, you know, but and what I really particularly like about it is that it's a dry town.
Yes.
So then, you know, you kind of keep out the riffraff party people and let the mamas rest in peace, literally, on the front porch of this beautiful inn. So, yeah, it's good.
So tell me a little bit about you own the two, and how is that managing two places while managing everything else? Is it a lot to undertake?
At this point, it's administrative for me.
Okay.
In the beginning, when we first bought the Maryland Inn, I was the innkeeper also.
Oh boy.
So I was resetting the house every week, all the laundry, all the bath, you know, everything. For 3 years, I did that. And, so we bought that in September of 2018, and we had outgrown it already within a year. And our donor was like, well, if you want another, let's do another. So we chose we chose the place in North Georgia and bought that in January of 2020 before all hell broke loose. And then, you know, so all through January 2020, we were just prepping it and getting it ready for the most part. Now, what was helpful, though, was that in Georgia, they were never closed. So unlike, you know, the hell that we all suffered up here in the Northeast with the business closures and schools and all that stuff, they never closed. Everything stayed open.
And everything stayed open. Stores, yep. Restaurants.
Yep. You know, no, they did. You know, they did masking or requested masking. And that's different than forcing businesses to close and forcing you in curfews and quarantines and all this kind of just whatever. I'm going to hold my tongue on that. But it made it because Georgia was open. People were not uncomfortable coming. And even here in Maryland, you know, we remained open as an essential mental health care provider. I decided that whether the governor agreed or not, but I was like, I'm not closing this because we need this more than ever now, you know. Right.
And who's coming after you? Could you imagine? That's all the news gets under that.
If I had gotten any word from anybody about it, it would have been a major media blitz because I am not afraid to call these people out. Okay.
That's right.
Like, I would have been like the ultimate wrong.
Yeah.
But you know, I guess, you know, in that first part of the year, like April, nobody came, everybody was still afraid and didn't know and blah, you know, but with their kids all home for a month, 2 months, they were like, get me the hell out of here. Yep. So then, you know, by May we were full and everybody, you know, so we've remained open, but for me, managing them is mostly an administrative thing at this point, guest lists and donations and setting up new retreats on the website and that kind of thing. We have full-time innkeepers at both locations now.
That's wonderful. Really, really a great thing. Yeah. How did the parents report leaving? Like, you know, a mom leaving their child at home, is that a difficult transition for them? I know it's only for a weekend, but still, if you're with somebody all the time, and although you do know you need the rest, I don't know. I don't know if there'd be, if you ever hear anybody has like any guilt or anything like that, not that they should. So if anybody listening, you absolutely should have zero guilt.
Right. I think that it depends on the support structure at home. Mm-hmm. If they have a spouse and, or other older children who, or their parents or, you know, whoever who is capable of caring for their child, if it's a child that they're caring for, it makes it a little easier. A lot easier, let's put it that way. If they're a single parent or they don't have any support, it's a lot harder. And that's, you know, one of the challenges that we face is that providing the child care is not something that AMR is ever going to be able to do. We hope sometime in the future that funding may be available to help families pay paid caregivers to come in. But right. Even that's really hard because, my gosh, I mean, I would never just hire some stranger off the street to come in and keep Reese for 3 days, you know, and who I don't know, right? So that's a whole other beast in and of itself. But we've met many people. I've known many people who have said, I have not been away from my child in 15 years. Mm-hmm. And so it's a big step for them, big step for them to be like, oh, my gosh, it only costs that. And, oh, my gosh, it's only like an hour from my house. Like, I've got to do this. And, you know, so they're active in the Facebook group and they're seeing other people and they're reading about their experiences and they finally, you know, have the courage to step over that hump. And then they come and they're like, thank you, God, you know, like just so grateful. And that's, you know, really what we're looking for, not gratitude, but victory. It's a victory that they have, you know, mastered or at least come over their own anxiety, their own fear, guilt, shame, whatever, mm-hmm. and made that step. And now they love it, mm-hmm. and they are waiting to come back again. So,
can you talk a little bit about why it's 3 nights as opposed to 2 nights?
Yes. 3 nights, because that third night is when the physiological decompression actually happens. 2 nights is just rushed. You spend half the day on the road Friday, and then you have to be out by 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. Like, that's not enough time. The extended time lends to the physiological decompression when you actually teach yourself to sleep, not with one eye open. Right. You know nobody's coming in to wake you up. You know nobody needs you. It takes time to retrain yourself to that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having the extended time for fellowship, having, you know, three full nights of dinners out or dinners in with these ladies, it just, the 3 nights is really best. We even host some 4 and 5 night retreats if people are able to get away. So, especially over holiday weekends and things of that nature. So, that's why.
I wouldn't want to leave.
No.
I can tell you that too. Yeah.
Especially once that third night really does settle in, you know, when the magic really happens, and then you're like, oh, now you start to remember, you know, who you are and who you are as a person.
Yes. Because we do. We get lost. Yeah. We get lost. We don't even realize how lost we are, or we convince ourselves that who we were before our caregiving life began, that person doesn't exist anymore. And that just isn't true. But it takes removing you from the caregiving environment to prove that to you. And for you to be around other people who understand your life, but also understand how to have fun and will allow themselves to have fun. And, you know, margarita night is great. And at our inn in Maryland, we have 7 princess tiaras. So a lot of the people will do all their tiaras and all do group selfies and stuff like that. It's just little attention to detail, you know, to encourage them to have fun and to lighten the load, and that none of them have to be fearful of what they're going to say, that they're going to be judged or questioned or shamed in that space, because they're not, because everybody gets it. You know, you're not having to explain yourself to anybody. Telling your story, but you're not explaining yourself. So
empathy is very powerful, but there's nothing like being in the same room with somebody else who really does, you know, is going through exactly, you know, what you're going through.
Right. And so that's, you know, we do a lot of women's retreats, you know, for any adult female caregiver, but you'll also see on our calendar that we do a lot of diagnosis specific retreats, private group retreats. We even host Bible studies if people want to do that kind of thing, that they don't even have to be caregivers. It's just a rental of the house really for the weekend. So that price is a little bit higher, and that goes as a donation to support the organization. But, you know, we try to get the couples in there. We try to get the dads in there. You know, adoptive families also. So, you know, people who are going through, you know, are facing similar diagnoses really seem to like to come together and have that camaraderie.
Do you think there's anything unique? Well, I mean, I know there's some things that are unique. What do you think is unique about fathers who are in this situation where, you know, often a lot of times mom becomes primary, sometimes dad's primary, but they're experiencing this as well. I feel like the child, the older child or small child, no matter what, they get a lot more attention, but the parents don't. And especially often, sometimes the dad, and maybe not as hands-on. They could be the person who's working all the time or whatever it might be.
Right. You know, I mean, I think, you know, obviously I can't speak for every dad.
Right, sure.
But, you know, men in general tend to process their stress differently. Mm-hmm. A lot of them have an easier ability to kind of let it roll off and not carry it inside the way that we do as moms. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the reasons why we don't do as many dad's retreats as we do for the women. But the ones that we do, the guys love it. And, you know, the B&B scene is not for every guy, and that's okay. But the ones who come love it, and they're the ones booking and signing up the next time and the next time and the next time.
Wow.
So it's very positive. Now, one interesting thing that I have noticed about those dad's retreats is that when they are together, they rarely talk about their children. They are getting to know each other on their own common interests and their own work and, you know, where they're from and where they went to school. I mean, you know, those things. They don't sit around and cry the way that we do.
That's so interesting, because it's almost like they kind of still have that connection with their identity, their non-parent of a child who have some type of special need. They really still have that connection into who they are a little bit.
You know, and I don't mean to suggest that they're not stressed by the environment at home. I don't mean that.
Sure.
But they carry it differently, and men are able to compartmentalize in their brains better than women can, because our brains are always like, you know, like this. Everything's connected, and the guys are like, nope, this box and this box and this box and this box. And they're just able to enjoy the time away and the quiet and just getting to know other guys who get it. And if they do get to talking about things, then great. But most of the time they're out doing things together. They're hiking, they're doing outside stuff. They're enjoying the backyard. They're smoking cigars down by the fireplace. They're you know, we have a pool at the house in Georgia, so they enjoy that there during the summertime. You know, so they're just doing and experiencing it differently than we do.
So what do you see over the next year for a mother's rest? Like, what kind of things are you working on or are you looking to work on?
Well, realistically, over this next year or even 2 years, if we grow, it's going to be with new B&B partners. Mm-hmm. Because of the place that I'm at in my life, my youngest son is about to graduate from high school, and I'm going through this whole college thing with him, and then figuring out adult care or adult life for Reese. Like, it's just this, you know, completely shift of season in my life. Mm-hmm. And so as much as I would very much like to be able to open a new inn, I know that the next 2 years is not the time for me to take that on, because I'm just not physically or mentally free to do that the way that I was for these last two. So it'll happen at some point, but, you know, for us, it's really going to be about, you know, trying to build new partnerships in different states, expanding the number of dates that we have, weekends that we have, and fundraising, which is, you know, uber hard, especially now.
Yeah.
Hard before, but now it's even worse. That's, you know, we're going to coast for a little while.
That's actually amazing, the fact that you're even planning just to coast. Some places are kind of downsizing. So the fact that you would even entertain possibly adding in another, you know, partnership or something, that's amazing with everything it sounds like you have going on. So that's great.
And I mean, when the B&Bs join on with us, that's not hard. Mm-hmm. Because they're just doing their normal thing. It's really up to me just to them and, well, all of us, to coordinate, to decide which weekend they want to offer. I set it up on the website. I post about it. People book it. I send them the guest list and the money when it's time. And that's pretty much all that I need to do. And they just do their thing on the other end, which is so great about the Scarborough is that they are open to us so often that it's almost like having our own inn in New Jersey, which is a great, great spot. So that takes a load off of me. I'm just managing guest lists and, you know, donations. And, you know, they do not offer them for free. So, you know, what people pay through, they register through A Mother's Rest on our website, but then that money goes back to the innkeepers. So, you know, we're really just kind of the middleman with that, what we call the Porch Partner Network.
Porch Partner Network. I like that.
Most of those B&Bs have got their historic properties. You know, they've got these wraparound porches, and there's something very comforting and soothing about a rocking chair on the front porch. So,
there really is. So I think we're kind of getting to that point where we're going to have Logan's special time.
Okay.
All right. So we call this rapid fire questions. I'm going to ask you 10 questions. You're just going to kind of go with whatever comes to your head first. They are not trivia questions.
Beware. You know what? I used to be a Trivial Pursuit like master. And after I had kids, my brain is just mush. Oh, yeah. Like, I can't remember my own name half the time. So when I say to you, Rachel, send me reminders, I'm like very serious about that. Just like, you know.
Well, I had to put make notes down for my reminders. So
yeah.
Your reminder needed a reminder.
It did, yeah. Okay, go ahead, Logan. I'm ready. Fire.
All right, a four-letter word that starts with A.
Anna.
Anna. Favorite store.
My favorite store? Lowe's.
Ooh. A tool you never leave home without.
My cell phone.
All right. Stay in or go out?
Stay in.
And sleep. Mother's rest.
And sleep, yes. Because going out means getting my face on and putting on clothes that probably don't fit me anymore. And I'm just, yeah. So I'm like, yeah, go ahead.
That was a good answer. What is your go-to lazy dinner?
Oh, my go-to lazy dinner? Cereal.
What kind of cereal?
Lucky Charms.
Yes. Awesome. That's a good one. Favorite hobby?
Genealogy.
What is that?
The study of your ancestry.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Family tree.
Know every day.
Mm-hmm.
So what's something interesting about your family that you learned?
About my family was an initial investor in the Virginia Company, which founded the, was the original voyage to Jamestown.
Sure. Wow.
And I also have a signer of the Declaration of Independence in my family.
Wow.
Me too. I just can't tell you who. So maybe I'll have to check into that.
Yep. And I can help you if you need to find them.
Related.
Your favorite pizza topping?
Just cheese.
Just cheese. Favorite rainy day activity?
College football.
And your life motto?
My life motto, sleep matters.
Perfect.
That's my life motto.
It's the truth. I remember even having a baby and being pregnant. I'm like, I don't care what else happens. I just need to get some sleep. And I'm not a good person without it. So I really, I mean, I'm not in that same situation, but I do really appreciate those men and women who can do it without barely any sleep or interrupted, constantly interrupted sleep and everything.
It changes your entire ability to cope. Mm-hmm. And it literally makes mountains out of molehills. So just today, even like my youngest son, mm-hmm. God love him. Okay. He's amazing. He's this amazing athlete. He's an amazing student. He's getting ready for college. He's already gotten into the University of Alabama. He's waiting on the approval letters from UGA and from Coastal Carolina. Like, you know, he's ready for the next part of his life. Okay. And he, but because he has ADHD, he has just battled forever getting up on time, mm-hmm. and getting to school on time. And just this afternoon, like literally 15 minutes before I had to get on with you guys, I got a notification from his school that he had been tardy 3 times in the last 2 weeks. Not like, you know, hours tardy, but even just 15 minutes tardy, okay? And I just lost it. I'm like, I can't even. Mm-hmm. Why do I hold him to such expectations of perfection? It's ridiculous. Like, do you not remember when you were 17? You were stupid and were late and were, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, why can't I just let him be, you know? And I've asked myself, but I was just tears, just absolute uncontrollable.
Yeah.
Just with before I had to get on here. So,
yeah, because our kids' failures are our failures. And it's not a failure, but it sometimes we interpret it as that.
It feels that way. And yeah. I was so blessed because the his school administrator or his counselor anyway, you know, she wrote me back and she said, Mrs. Roberts, she said, you know, I really view this as a learning opportunity for him. You know, this is a disciplinary action on our part, and he's going to take this stronger than he would your punishments. Mm-hmm. So, and but she said, I know him and I know that he will take this and get better. And I needed to hear that so much because I was like, his life is over. He's never going to make it in college. He's never, you know, like I can't trust him to take his meds in the morning. Like I'm going down this rabbit hole just because he's been late to school 3 times. And, you know, he's got a nice solid B average. It's not like he's failing school. He's not doing drugs. He's not in jail. He's not got anybody pregnant yet. Like, you know, it could be so much worse. And I'm stressing and crying my eyeballs out because he's been late to school.
Mm-hmm. Like, this is a constant battle that we have in our heads as a parent.
But because I don't get enough sleep and because I'm stressed about so many things, I don't have the ability to take that with the objective grain of salt that his school counselor can. And I was just so grateful to her for just giving me that short little tidbit. And I was able to rein myself back in enough to get back on here and talk to you guys. Because anyway, so long story.
Well, you are doing an amazing job.
Thank you.
Not just for your family, but for everyone else's too.
Thank you.
I mean, I know I'm walking away feeling very inspired by our conversation. I really am. I just
thank you.
I think you're amazing.
Thank you. And I think that I mentioned to Rachel too, is that if you have listeners who are all part of your group, who are mostly in New Jersey, we can work with the Scarborough to set up a private retreat just for your group members.
Okay.
So you just, or they can go to anyone that they want to, but.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That's an incredible opportunity for our families. I know that they're going to jump on it.
Mm-hmm. Good. We've got several weekends that have rooms still open already on our website. So that like in January and not quite February, but like January, that they can join. We've got a couples retreat coming up, adoptive family retreat in January, and then regular dates in January. So they're welcome to sign up for then, or they can wait for additional dates to get posted.
So how can we, I would love to wrap this up by, you know, hearing what you say to a parent or a caregiver who's on the phone with you, kind of, you know, going back and forth in their mind, like, should I or shouldn't I? What do you say to help push them, sway them, you know, to the side so that they will say yes?
Fortunately, I don't have to have that conversation very often, like one-to-one. I think they talk themselves into it, again, through their participation or even just watching, observing in our Facebook support group, reading the testimonials of the other ladies, and then realizing how inexpensive it is, and they kind of talk themselves into it. A few times I have had people literally cancel at the last minute, the day, you know, because they're literally sitting in their car, they're packed, they're in their car, and they just cannot come. Like, they cannot bring themselves, and that pains me in ways I can't even put into words.
Right.
But, you know, I can't judge them. I understand how they feel. But sometimes in our group, I will use the hashtag, get in the car, when they start making excuses a few weeks ahead of time. Well, I'm not sure if my care is going to come through, or, you know, like all these things. I'm just like, hashtag get in the car.
You know? That's perfect.
So I try the tough love with them, and it's been pretty successful so far. So
if anybody's been listening, I mean, we've given, you know, parents and caregivers several reasons, you know, to say yes to this, but really they could kind of scope out the Facebook, you know, groups, and is it a Mother's Rest? That's how they would find the Facebook.
Yes, the group. So we have a main support group, and then we also have a public page where we do announcements about the new retreats and other, you know, inspirational things and articles and blah, blah, blah. So when you go to Facebook, you can go to official A Mother's Rest. That's the group. You'll need to request membership, and you will need to, you know, briefly describe what your caregiving scenario is so that we're sure we're not getting trolls.
Okay.
But you can follow along on the public page all you like. And, you know, I've given you every reason to come. I've cleared just all, you know, a lot of hurdles ahead of you to make these things possible. And, you know, for some people, they simply don't have anyone to care for their kids. And I understand that. And, you know, there are some people that just are not going to be able to participate. But what I hope is that the fact that we're out here and the low cost and it's in your area is a motivator for them to look a little harder or be more willing and to understand that your health is, you know, these trips are necessary. They're not a luxury. This is a health retreat for you. This is not a vacation. Okay. And you don't need to be at the end of your rope to come. As a matter of fact, it's better if you're not at the end of your rope to come, avoid the end of the rope, and help somebody who is at the end of their rope, because you're not. You may be a rock for them while you're.
I saw that on your website.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't want anybody to feel guilty about taking a room from somebody who needs it more. Bullshit. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you want to come, book it and come.
We will put all the links to the Facebook page and to your website where you're listening to this podcast.
Yes.
And if somebody's interested in learning more about A Mother's Rest and they're not on Facebook, can they just go on the website and contact you?
Yeah. So all of the emails from the contact us button come directly to my inbox. I answer all of them personally. I don't have a staff except for my innkeeper. So I manage all of the administrative everything. So they can go to our website at amothersrest.org. And then the best way to view our current retreat calendar is to go to that same website, but / event calendar. And that will give you one page where it's broken out by state and date. So you can see exactly what's in your area, what's coming up. And the key thing for your listeners to know about booking is that we do book out pretty quickly. In most of our retreats, for obvious reasons, but don't be discouraged by the fact that it's sold out. add yourself to as many wait lists as you can. Okay, we have cancellations all the time, and they're not just last minute. Okay, sometimes we have them several months ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And we don't go in order of who registered for the wait list first. I send one email out to everyone on the wait list if a room comes open at the same time. And it's the first person to re-register gets the room. Okay. And if you miss it, then you remain on the wait list for another potential cancellation. Mm-hmm. But your chances of getting in are actually very high. So use those wait lists. Take a few minutes. Add yourself to as many wait lists and as many weekends as you can. And if you're not able to come when that invitation happens, then so be it. You know, it's no big
deal. Right. Just don't.
But if you are, then you're able to jump quickly and have a spot. So that's how we make it easy for everybody.
Thank you so much for being on here and for all the time you've taken with us. We know you're a very busy woman, and so we do really appreciate it.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you so much, Andrea. So happy to meet you finally, and thanks for doing it at a 2 p.m., which is, I know, at the end of the day for
at the end of my rope. The end of my rope happened at like 10 o'clock this morning, so I went back to bed very early. I was like, Reese has been down here totally unsupervised for 2 hours. I won't lie. Door's been open, been listening with one ear, but I was like, okay, I gotta go back to bed. So rough day, but you know, this too shall pass.
Yep, there's always tomorrow.
Yeah.
But really what you're doing is fantastic. I mean, I don't think, you know, enough people are talking about this. It seems like in the last couple of years, I would say, I feel like there's a little bit more attention given, you know, to caregivers. There's more documentaries out there, more on social media. But really, I just found you a month ago, and I'm pretty much on social media like all the time. And there you were just magically in front of my eyes. And you know, I know that there's other people out there who, you know, who need to hear this message, but to know that they're really not alone. And I think it's super cool, your attitude and the way you have about you, and just come sleep if you want, come hang out if you want, whatever.
Yep.
I think that resonates with a lot of people who are already feeling so judged by the world. Yeah. You know, and so guilt, all that guilt and shame that you know, you talked about, I think that you really do help ease that for a lot of people. So
Thank you.
All right. Well, have a great day.
Thank you, Andrea.
And I'll talk to you again soon. Okay.
As soon as everything, Logan does her magic and mixes it all and, you know, makes us all sound amazing.
Yeah.
I'll send you the link. And it'll also get blasted, you know, on Facebook and everything. Sure.
So. And I'll post around for us, you know, on all of our pages too, so that it gets shared. Yeah. And you might have some new people joining your podcast. So
perfect.
Would love to.
Thanks.
Thank you, ladies.
Bye, Andrea. Thank
Great
you.
Great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. Looking for more? Be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast app and Instagram at The Interactive Journey. Questions, comments, or want to be a guest on our show? We'd love to hear from you. You can message us at podcast@interactivekids.com or on Instagram @TheInteractiveJourney.